Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Survivor specialist Phil and Blake are back, and today we are digging deeper into Survivor 47, episode number 8. For the first time since probably our first episode of doing this, we actually have a topic. And we are going to stick to these two topics. So it was always going to be one. But we have two. Here we are. We're ready to actually talk about two topics rather than just rambling. We're going to do an auction dissection, and we're going to talk about breaking up power couples successfully. Because Will and I had some takes last night on the auction. We had some takes on whether or not Andy is coming out of this scot-free looking good or looking bad. So I'm curious to hear what you have to say, Blake. And I feel like with this auction, a lot of people really want to know, are we going to keep getting this version, or are they going to keep making changes, and what kind of changes they need to make so we can kind of do a keep that, dump that kind of scenario here. Blake, you were texting me throughout the episode last night. What's your initial feelings before we even dive in?
My initial auction thought process is it's not complicated enough. I want it to be literally so hard to understand that you can't explain it to 10-year-olds. You can't explain it to your 65-year-old mother that's watching with you. I want them to be asking questions after every single thing. I think the auction doesn't have enough. It's not about Jeff enough. So we need to look to him every single time there's an item where he does a crazy voice every single time. And then it would be nice if every single time there's an item, we have to look to Jeff to see if it's going to keep going or not.
I can tell that you are being absolutely sincere right now, huh? My God, the poor people.
And I hope the auction burns in hell.
I'm smirking the entire time you're talking because you were texting me. You're like, it's why is this so complicated?
I think one thing, board game design, another one of my favorite things. If you can't explain your reality show, your board game, your whatever to people in two sentences, it's too hard. All right, for this episode, we're going to race through the jungle to find individual purple cubes that have different kinds of money. So when we all get there, they're going to have different kinds of money, different values. So it won't be fair, but it'll be merit-based based on how many they get. Unless somebody only gets two and they get the two most, and then the people that got six that got really small ones, they'll feel bad about it. But if you have the most money after the whole thing's over, you'll lose your vote because our show's the best when we take away choices from contestants. That's what we're all about, is our contestants not being able to make decisions. And it's just like, what is going on in these pitch meetings? How are they going? Yes, perfect. That's exactly what we want. Let's all go get on the jet ski. We don't have to do any more work anymore. Like, it's so weird to me. Okay, what was the difference from the last one we saw when they did all this? And I think a big complaint has been, it's not really an auction. It's just people going, I don't want to lose my vote. I have the most money. This is my item. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lose my vote. This is the most money. And then it's like, well, this one had $60 back. So now you do have, well, somebody's always going to have more than 60. So thank you. Mm-hmm. But it's just interesting because you're a 10-year-old watching Survivor right now for season 47. Are you going, oh, I love auctions? Or are you going, what the heck is going on? And look, guess what? The fish eyes are back from 45. And it's like, okay, that was a cool moment with Austin that one time, but is everybody going to bite deep into a fisheye the exact same way? And it's like, why do you want to have new moments, or you just want to reference old moments? That's one thing that always goes through my mind with CBS reality shows. Are you supposed to go, I can't believe I'm drinking a margarita with Jeff Probst, just like those five other people? Or are you going to go, wow, thank God I got a margarita. This reminds me of my grandma Garita and my grandpa Mar. like can we have new moments, or is it just going to be old references all the time?
So all right, So let's chat about this, because now we got Blake's initial thoughts, and he totally held back, didn't give us anything there. He totally didn't tell us how he felt in any way, shape, or form. So let's actually break this down, and let's talk about what happened in 45, and let's talk about what they changed here. Because here's my biggest take before we even mention 45. Everybody loved the auction in its original form. There is not a single fan. And I know that Jeff got pissed. I don't remember. I think it might have been Amazon or something where it was like, you all aren't bidding. That's making me mad. You guys need to start bidding. I don't remember exactly what season it was, but supposedly behind the scenes, they weren't bidding and Jeff got really mad. Here's the thing. And I'm going to be crude here. So for anybody who's listening and you might be a fan of the show or you might be on the show, I apologize. Don't care about the cast. And I don't fucking care about Jeff. Okay, I don't care about either one of those. I care about the viewer, because the viewer is who the TV show is made for. The people who are going and experiencing the game, congratulations, you've done it. You have made the show, and you are now going to experience something that a lot of us wish we could, that I wish I could. There's no denying that. But once you're out there, all I care about from my perspective is that you entertain me. That you play good Survivor, that you try, even if you don't play good Survivor, try to play good Survivor and be good TV, because that is ultimately what this is about being a TV show. And this auction, the way it has been changed to benefit everybody except for the fans. It has been changed to benefit the players, sort of. We could talk about that. And it's certainly been changed to benefit Jeff and production, who feel like, oh, look at us. We can make this more of a game thing, lost votes. Isn't this exciting? Maybe for you it is. And maybe the players get their hearts beating a little bit harder when it's like, I better get these grubs down. Otherwise, I'm going to have to go back with $200. I might lose my vote tonight. But at the same time, as a viewer, I don't even know what number item they're on. So when you're saying only the first five are guaranteed or the first six are guaranteed, and then after that, any item can be the last item, what do I care? I can't follow that as a viewer, because in my head, I'm not counting to 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Like, that's not what I'm doing. I'm watching the show. And I know that Jeff comes back and says, oh, well, here's where we are. The other thing we don't have as viewers is the board telling us how much money everybody has at all times. So when Jeff sits there and he says, here's the sixth item, whoever has the most money, it might not be there. I don't even know who has the most money and who's in the most danger of actually losing their vote. So as a viewer, I've gained nothing from this. I've lost so much from this. And when you're doing this, oh, Sue, you're the one who's on the chopping block. This could be you, bad for you. Guess what, Sue? There's one more item. Sue goes, oh, I love you, Jeff. I love you, Jeff. They cut to the board for a millisecond. They cut away. And I'm supposed to be able to have figured out all of these numbers. It's so ridiculous. It's so unnecessary. And yet, this is a significantly better version than what we got in 45. And we'll talk about that. We'll actually dissect this auction. But I needed to say my piece first of this has been made with the players and with Jeff in mind and production. And that is it. It has not been changed with the audience in mind. And you've taken away one of the most fun things about Survivor. You've made it overly complicated. You've made it have way too many twists, and it's frustrating. So go ahead, Blake.
So that's where the Blake Meyer branded tinfoil hat comes in.
Uh-oh.
Because I feel like there's a couple, maybe there's a famous Survivor writer that writes about this kind of stuff. But like, Jeff doesn't like when people like stuff that he does not like. And I don't think Jeff loved the auction because they got rid of it forever because Mike broke it in 30. So for 15 seasons, we don't have the auction. And I think there is the, like, everyone wants the auction back. Oh my God, give us the auction back. That's one of the fans' favorite thing. There's no way we can do it because Mike broke it. All you would have to do is we don't have advantages at the auction. It is solely a food thing. You guys just all want to relax. Well, that's what we have the Oasis for, or the Survivor Shack, or the Survivor Social Minute, whatever the hell we're calling it these days. And like, it's something where I think he heard from the fan base so much, bring the auction back, bring the auction back. All we do is we want the auction. We love the auction. What was another one of these things? Bring back the intro. We want the intro. Where's the Survivor intro? there's like 15 seasons where there's not a Survivor intro because everyone loves it and Jeff doesn't care for it. And Jeff's like, we can't have the intro. And they're like, it's 90-minute episodes. You can't find another minute and a half to make the intro. And now the intro is finally back. And it's like, okay, thank God. But in my mind, I think Jeff is like, if we make the auction so unnecessarily complicated, they'll stop bitching about it. They'll be like, actually, we don't care about this auction because it's not like we like it at all. And you guys are screwing everything up. And everything about the auction is going to be a negative thing because what's your favorite moment of last night? Like, I can't really think of my favorite moments because I'm too busy bitching about the other thing of like, why is Sam pulling a Rick Devins three times in the middle of the runaround thing? We have Andy. Did Andy game the system or is he that dumb where he didn't get any at all? And you're like, I would love to know, did Andy do it on purpose or not? Sierra has a bunch, but okay, she did get the most money. Sue gets the moment of, thank God, this isn't the last item. But then she doesn't win it anyway and then has to do the, thank God, this isn't the last item one more time. And Sue doesn't even look like she's understanding what's going on whenever it's happening of like, and then both of the people are like, Jeff, I thought you said the other thing. And they're leaving that in the edit. Jeff, I thought you said the other thing again.
Yeah.
And you're just like, why aren't we sharing money? Amazing, Jake. Yep. Yes.
And he says, why aren't we sharing money and food? And then here's Kevin Hernandez. The auction can be broken by someone choosing not to find money so they don't lose their vote. And Jake says the same thing. Honestly, based on how auction is now, if I'm playing, I'm taking the Andy way and not getting any money. No way I can lose my vote. Guess what? They've rebroken the auction in that way by telling people if you don't go for any money, you can't lose your vote. Now watch, next time they do the auction, it'll be, if you didn't find any, you've already lost your vote, plus the person with the most will lose their vote. Instead, here's what we do. There's not going to be any advantages. But then you hide an advantage in the food, like they did. And that's fine, because you don't know that you're bidding on it. So you're just bidding on food. And if you happen to bid on food, that works out for you. Good for you. It's like in Australian Survivor when Shawnee gets the lollies, as they call them in Australia, when she gets the lollies, good for her that there's an advantage in there. You picked the right item to bid on, whatever. But as an audience, we just want to watch the auction because I couldn't keep track of anything throughout this. And anybody who could, you're paying attention way harder than most viewers of the show. And Jeff and them need to understand this. And I hope that they do. Like, I really, really hope that they do. Because there is so much good to be gotten from the auction. And I keep saying it, every twist is moving in the right direction. The Survivor 45 auction was horrible. This auction moved in a better direction because there were certain items that were, this was only worth $60. Whoever gives me $60 first gets this. There was everybody who wants to do 200, come on up, but then you have to eat the grubs first and everybody else will keep their money. But there was an idle clue hidden. Like, there were things that made sense for the game and progress this in the right direction. But the classic moments of Survivor, Will brought it up last night, Eric paying Serene money to lick chocolate off of her fingers, Randy and Sugar with the damn cookies. Those are the classic moments of Survivor. And you know what? In Worlds Apart, when Mike broke the auction, that's a damn good moment and probably the best moment of that season. So this isn't hard to fix. And I think they made some right decisions. So I'm going to ask you, I want to kind of go thing by thing here and see what you think. First of all, you talked about it at the beginning. Do you want them looking for money?
No.
Okay. Dump the looking for money. It's not worth it. Do you want somebody to be able to lose their vote if they have the most amount of money?
No.
Okay. Do you think that the $60 thing, you know, like whoever gives me this first, is that fun to you as you're sitting there watching this?
It's just another item. There's nothing exciting.
But exactly. It's nothing. You don't feel strongly one way or the other. And that's how you're supposed to kind of feel when you're watching the auction, right?
Great.
It's supposed to be what I have thrown. If I had $500, would I have taken 100 of it just to go get whatever the first item was? I don't even remember. What did you think about them bringing back the gross food to get food?
I mean, I thought it was disgusting because there's like poop coming out of one of them right away. And you're just like, good Lord. And then the stuff coming out of Sue's mouth is one of the most disgusting things that's happened in a while on the show. And then like some of those people got something to wash it down with, but other people are like, okay, I just had nasty grubs in my mouth for no reason.
I think it's fun. And this was the one part of the auction that I actually was really into was, honestly, even if they do an auction where there is no lose a vote or anything like that and your money still has value, have four people come up with $100 and say, okay, cool, you got to eat this gross stuff. And since you can't lose a vote for having the most money, you're going to lose your money if you don't get this. So get it down. And like Teenie had tweeted earlier today that her and Kyle really wanted to switch items because Kyle wasn't liking the chicken wings. You know, he doesn't want to eat the meat. He feels a little bit less bad, I guess, about eating dairy. And so they were trying to switch items so he could eat the mac and cheese and she could eat the chicken wings. And Jeff was like, no. And it's like, why? Like, yeah. Why? And because, I understand that. What the real reason
like,
is.
When Sugar doesn't share with Randy, that's amazing. And like, they could screw up. I guess what they could do is pull San Juan del Sur and be like, we're going to split every item eight ways with the eight different people. Because I know San Juan del Sur kept trying to like, get everyone the exact amount of everything. But I think it would have been interesting of like, oh, I have 20 wings in front of me and I'm going to share them with Teeny. And then Teeny gives one to somebody, but not somebody else that wants one. Or like Andy has no money. So just Andy has to watch people eat the whole time and not do anything. And could have been picked by Sierra to do the chocolate or peanut butter. And then is it? And you're like, just like, poor fucking Andy. Man.
Well, also though, like what you could do is you could just say you have to have some of the money in the pot. Like you can split money, but you can't have any of the food if you don't put any money towards it. Right. And that would prevent a lot of people. But like, I thought that was weird. And then like, yeah, Jeff just says, okay, you get this and now you get to pick two people to come up and eat it with you. And it's like, okay, you pick the two people to come up and eat it with you, but that was like, that's fun. Like I enjoy that more than the other stuff. I just feel like the original auction of just like, we're going to split it because Danny has $200 and Stephanie has $200. Great. They're going to split it because they were able to get more money. Now, if you don't want to do that stuff, okay, that's fine. But I still think that not splitting the money and having it where nobody loses their vote is a much better version of the auction than we got this time. Like I'd rather
nobody
lose their vote than people. Like I guess what I'm trying to say is I'd rather nobody lose their vote than people be able to split.
Two things for me to get it out of my system so they can steal it and I won't be mad. Give us a menu of the 20 things you're going to do. And then be like, we don't know how many of these 20, but these are the things that could be. And it's, or maybe like 15. And it's like, hamburgers, margaritas, and you're like, okay, I'm waiting for that one. Some of them will be uncovered. Some of them will be covered. That's fine. Love that. Also, one thing that I've never understood is like, why is there not like, here's a shower kit, but this cannot be used by the whole group.
Yeah.
This is Teeny's shower kit that she's buying. Teeny's going to smell like roses the rest of the game. And you guys are going to hate Teeny because she has like shampoo the whole time.
Yeah.
like that's one thing. Oh, this bar of soap or this toothbrush kit. Like that's one of my favorite moments from Cook Islands is like she's in the bathtub and like getting all that extra stuff and people are just eating chocolate cake or whatever. And it's like, she's going to smell great after this, but we're not.
Yep. I also want to bring this point up here. This is from Patrick Stahl. You have to earn all of your money through eating gross food. How would you feel about that? I feel like that would be funny as hell.
I mean, it is something where I like that being you're only eligible for this final item if you eat this grub in a minute. And then the final item is like the best item the whole time. And then it's like who has money or who wants to gang up and get money. But now this person can only have it. Like those are the layers. Sharing money was cool.
Yeah.
Maybe this eat negative to eat positive is kind of cool. Figure it out. I just don't get the, you can't share because some of our famous moments are, I guess Sugar's thing was she won cookies that she could give to everyone or not.
No, Randy won the cookies. Oh no, it was Sugar. You're right. Sugar won. Randy didn't take it.
Yeah. And then
Randy. Well, Randy won. Randy won, not Sugar. Don't rewrite history. Randy won, and he was giving him away. And Sugar said, "I don't want your cookie." He said, "Sugar, one more time." And then she took it and handed it to Maddie. That's what happened.
Oh my goodness! How could I? Every season matters. Gabon will be in.
We're only five months back, March or April or something.
Okay, I want to
bring up this Patrick Stahl thing again. I'm just gonna keep this up. Could you imagine if instead of them running around looking for money in a wild goose chase that has Sam doing a very okay, sorry Sam, sorry, but a very
you just have 10 things they have to eat. Everything you eat is another $100 that
exactly.
You get.
Exactly, and it doesn't even have to be a competition. It can just literally be everybody who eats this first thing gets $50. Now it could be the first five people to eat this next one get 100. So it becomes a little bit of a competition. It becomes a reward challenge, some would say. And then you say, okay, the next one is going to be, you know, everybody gets $200 and maybe everybody starts with $60. So everybody has something. So you don't have an Andy who's just sitting there, because how does that help us again as an audience? How are we helped by watching Andy sit at the most fun part of the game and not be able to participate when he's also been one of the biggest characters on the show? It's a total waste of time. It's stupid. So anyway, you do this and you make it where there's a bunch of gross food and you have to eat to be able to get money. And then you, like you said, Blake, maybe there is a menu and it says these are the 15 items, but it's all going to be covered. Or you don't know which is going to come. Every now and then one will come out. It will be uncovered, but whatever. But you know they're all going to be good. You're not going to have the coconut. You're not going to have whatever. But you also know you'd much rather have chicken wings than have mac and cheese. And you can't split the reward. You can only eat what you buy.
I also like Jeff Probst used to do, like, I'll start this one out at 100.
Yeah.
And then that would be like everybody that's at 80 is like, God dang it. But like that could be part of the menu of like, we're not giving burgers out unless you're giving us 250. So you better eat five of these things beforehand, because that way you'll have at least $250 one day.
Yeah.
I also do like that is one of the craziest things where it was you'll pick somebody to send to Exile Island, get and take their money and just sending.
Yeah, that was funny.
Is one of the most brutal things that has ever happened.
We're almost up to that episode of Every Season Matters. That's fun. But yeah, so all of that's just like, again, and then you can do it where people know what food they're getting and you can hide it in the food somewhere. And you know, like now there's something you can hide it under the cheeseburger. So the person doesn't know, or you know, with the cheeseburger, you're probably going to get fries, but you can hide it under the pizza. You can hide it wherever. And like whatever you buy, there could be an advantage. But instead of having to purchase advantages, what breaks the game. And instead of, you know, just sitting there and watching people throw money and ruining what is an auction. Like, I don't, again, it's like what a merge means has lost its meaning on Survivor. An auction is supposed to be like, I bid, you bid, I bid, you bid, I bid, you bid. That's what it's supposed to be. Instead, it's just become, I have $360. I don't want to lose my vote, so I'm going to throw the money. I actually feel like that idea from Patrick Stahl is probably the best idea that they could do. Turn it into something gross. Instead of watching them run around to get the money, everybody can have a different amount of money, but they're still bidding on good items. It's just a matter of Sierra could get $2,000 and the next person could have $999. And she knows the first $1,000 she spends is getting what she wants. It's fun.
I like that. We solved it. Hopefully they're digging deep and watching all the YouTube content, you know?
I hope so.
Andy.
Sorry, I'm just coughing to death, guys.
Andy just sucks.
What?
Do you think Andy just sucks and didn't get the money?
Oh, I get what you're saying. I was going to say, you can't just come on here and be like, Andy sucks. That's not, you're going to make us lose every viewer. What are you talking about? No, I think with Andy just gets in his own head. And I do think it's a little frustrating to watch at times. I mentioned this on the after show, which I released earlier for patrons. I feel like Andy, when he's high, is so high. But Andy, when he's low, is so low. And I feel like in this episode with the advantages, he was so low. And I felt like he wanted everybody to feel bad for him. But then he turns around and he makes the move on Sam and Sierra. And now he's happy. And somebody here says, Kevin Hernandez, I think Sierra made a big mistake by not sharing the food with Andy. I do think, here's the thing, whether I think Andy's annoying or not, in those moments where he's having these breakdowns and stuff. Doesn't matter if I'm playing Survivor, because I still need to make sure Andy's happy. Even if it seems like he's impossible to make happy at times, you have to make sure he's happy, because Andy's vote counts just as much, if not more. And if Sierra had chosen Gabe and Andy for this, because Gabe hadn't eaten and got screwed with the coconut, and then he chooses Andy, who had no money, Sierra might not have gone home, because Andy is an emotional player. I feel like Andy is way more emotional than strategic right now.
I think all that's true. And I do think it is interesting of how many throwaways, like, oh, I forgot Andy exists. You know what? Sometimes so do I. Mm-hmm. And like,
it's brutal.
They must have been saying some stuff to him too, of like, and I think what's funny is we're just saying that like Andy can't get out of his head to find a purple tube. Like, everybody's like, Andy's going to win the season. It's like, if Andy can't get out of his head to find a purple tube, how is he going to get out of his head to answer 8 questions from a jury that puts him ahead of 2 other players? Like, this man is cruising for a bruising at Final Tribal Council and getting like 3rd place with 0 votes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I feel too. That's how I feel, especially after last night. And now let's switch gears here to this breaking up the power couples, because Andy, a lot of people, like Will and I were talking about it last night, a lot of people are trying to figure out, did Andy make the right move? Did he make the wrong move? When you're breaking up a power couple, you're always going to piss. You're going to piss both people off. I mean, that's how it's going to be, especially if you're the one who drives it. Andy made this move at final 11. Okay, at final 11, he makes this move on Sierra and Sam, who had felt like he wasn't on their radar, and they had saved him earlier in the game, right? He makes this move. How do you break up a power couple if you're actually working with them and have them not be pissed at you? Because I don't see any way, shape, or form that Sierra or Sam ever vote for Andy at final 3 now. I don't think Rachel does either.
And it's something where it's like, truly, are you the person who, oh, Andy dictated all of this? Because it was pretty much shown to everyone. It was like, everybody wants somebody different. Some people want to eliminate Rachel. Some people want Sierra. Some people want Sam. At no point did Andy go, let's get rid of Sierra first. Mm-hmm. And it did feel like it was almost like Teeny was like, oh, I wish we could get this person out. And people are like, okay, good idea. And then Genevieve was like, I wish we could do this person. It was like, okay, good idea. And like, Rachel uses her shot in the dark, has the idol nobody knows about, is like the one who gets the squeakiest cleanest out of this. But it is like, oh, wait, we've been telling you this since like episode 2, that everyone, like Sierra and Sam, are sitting or standing close to each other on the mats.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, oh, are they dating? And you're like, that's such a weird thing to always ask us at the Survivor social hour. Hey, you guys are really close. And it's like, okay, the first time all the whole tribe can vote together and they're both not immune, and there's not a Rome, and there's not like some random problem going on, we're finally going to break up the people that we said we were going to break up since the second episode. So none of this is driven by Andy really at all.
I think it was a terrible move too. I think that's what I really come to terms with here. I couldn't figure out who it was the best move for, and I think I just decided it really wasn't that good of a move, because Sierra and Sam are always threatening to everybody out there as long as they're a pair, and they're such an obvious pair. Everybody knows that they're a pair. So you wait till next time and you vote one of them out. Like, you don't need to make this move here at 11, because at the end of the day, they're only 2 votes. People are always so scared of the power couple. They're only 2 votes. And you can't tell me right now that Genevieve, Saul, and Teeny aren't more dangerous than Sierra and Sam. Like, you can't tell me that. Those 3 are going to vote together almost every time. They are working in unison now that Rome is gone. Those 3 have all, you have to remember this, those 3 have all lost pretty much their closest ally, right? Like, Genevieve lost Rome, Teeny lost Keyshawn, and I don't remember if Saul was close with Asia, but at the Asia vote, he was, right? He was close with Asia because he wanted Rome to go home. So it's like, to see this happen, they've all lost somebody they're close with, and now they have the 3 of each other. They're so much more threatening than Sam and Sierra. So when I watch Sam and Sierra play this game right now, the way that they are playing this game, I'm not threatened by them because they're so obvious. keep them around. You're at final 11. Who cares? That's just my opinion on the matter. And I do think that Andy shot himself in the foot here because I think Andy's getting too cocky with it. I think he's, you know, he's going to go back that I made this move, blah, blah, blah. I think it's going to piss off Sam. I think Rachel's going to be on alert. And honestly, the rest of the cast now should be like, man, this Andy guy's actually playing Survivor. What if he turns on me? He's so easily turned on Sierra. I think it's going to screw him. I think it's going to hurt him bad. And if he does get the final three, I don't think he can win.
I think the thought process that is crazy about this is the Lavo people that are still around have been to hell and back being around Rome. And I think them taking the dive of like, please get out Rome right away, gave them the wiggle room. But like the Lavo people don't know how to have a normal, easy vote.
Yeah.
And like, it was given to them of like, let's get out of Tuku. Which one do you want? Caroline or Gabe? And it's like, Gabe has had a target on his back for a while. Let's just get rid of Gabe. What would be wrong with that? Does Saul have a good plan with Gabe? Does Genevieve have a good plan with Gabe? Mm-hmm. Does Teenie have a plan with Gabe? I have seen none of those scenes on any episode of Survivor.
Yeah.
But there's so much of like, usually we're going to backstab someone immediately, and then somebody's going to play a vote steal to get rid of them. And then we're barely going to survive a puzzle. And then we're going to get rid of our dude unanimously. Like, it's time to, let's flip it again. And you're like, Genevieve, just focus. Like,
yeah,
just take a break. Get rid of Gabe if you don't want to work with Gabe. Because if at any point over the next three tribals, if Genevieve's like, God, Gabe's a big pain in my ass, how is he not gone by now? I'm going to go, why did you get rid of Sierra? And I don't know if it's overthinking, but what's the point of, oh, we're Lavo, let's be Lavo and go Gotta strong right now, and Andy is so not even with his tribe that it's not 4-3. Mm-hmm. It could be 6 and Andy. And I actually like those numbers. And you saw D Villaliardes be like, I'm taking my whole 4 to the end. Pick your 4 now and go. And if you want to do cross tribal 3 times to make it as complicated as possible, go for it. But it's time to pick those people.
Well, and it was so interesting too, because I'm thinking this cast saw 45 before they went out. So they saw D and Austin. D and Austin weren't really perceived as a power couple out there though. D had Mama J and Austin had Drew. It wasn't like D and Austin combined between that alliance to make it so that they were going to make it deeper in the game. But I don't think they were being perceived as a power couple. I don't really think they were a power couple. They liked the other people that were around them too. And so, you know, we always talk about Sam Wandel Sir, because I know Jonklin is like one of your favorite duos ever. How threatening was Jonklin? They're never going to win. And maybe that's where Sam and Sierra were going. How are they going to differentiate their games when they got to final two or final three? They're not going to. Whoever the third person is probably wins the season, because those two can't differentiate the game. Now, I know Jake lost sitting next to Austin and D, but that was such a dominant performance by the Rebas. Jake had no shot. The only person there would probably be Andy, right? Like, who can't win there? So I just think, like, when you're playing with a power couple, I think you want to keep playing with the power couple. And right now, Sam's going to be pissed. And anybody who voted against here, right now, Sam and Sierra have a hierarchy in their heads of who pissed them off the most by going against them at this tribal council. Andy's at the top. So if Sam and Sierra are on the jury, there's no way they vote for Andy. There's 0% chance. They're not going to do it. And then you work your way down and you go, who else am I pissed at? Who else am I pissed at? And that's going to be something they think about. So for me, I just feel like, if you're going to break up the power couple, you have to be able to see, how deep in the game am I? How threatening are they? They're 2 out of 11. They're not threatening at all. They're really not.
I think what's crazy too is like, Rachel played her shot in the dark and Sam didn't have his idol. So somehow at the vote of 11 people, it's 4-4-1. Uh-huh. And if you are Rachel or Sam, you were like, holy crap. How are we not the next to immediately toast?
Yeah.
I think that's the idea of, why was Genevieve not okay with Lavo's and Gotta, but now they're okay with Lavo's and Tuku? When you just watched how Tuku's so strong, But all this is going to fall apart as soon as Kyle doesn't win an immunity. Like, there's all these layers, but you're like, I don't want to give Kyle more options. Like, I'm just surprised Gabe survived when we didn't see how Gabe got out of it.
And I think the only way he got out of it was because they were so focused on breaking up Sierra and Sam. That's how it felt. They were just so focused on that. And then Alan says, here, do you think this move happens if Andy doesn't initiate it? So I know you were saying, like, it's really not Andy's move, but Andy is the one who says, I want to get rid of one of these people. And so I don't know. Maybe it happens. Maybe it doesn't. I do feel like Gabe was probably the right move here. And I feel like they messed up. And it still doesn't change. Like, if I'm looking at my final five, I said it last night, the three Lavos, Rachel, and Caroline. That's who I think the final five of the season are. I think Andy just misses. Now, Andy could easily get in there instead of Rachel, and that's your final five. And then this whole move really did actually work out. But the Tukus who went along with it, which one of them is so close with Andy that they feel good about this move? That's what I think is confusing me. Because Andy, we've seen talking to Teeny and Saul and Genevieve. But why were the Tukus? The Tukus were probably just pumped it wasn't them. But which one of the Tukus feels close enough to Andy that they're saying, oh, good, let's stay in this alliance that includes Andy and three people from the other tribe. And the other two people who are on this game started the game with Andy. He's obviously going to come to us before he goes to them. Like, who's thinking that? I don't know.
I think it's more of the somebody betrays their tribe, and instead of that working out for him, they just go like maybe Sam's next. And then Andy's right afterwards, and Andy actually gets ninth place. And it's like one of those, gosh dang it, Cochran, why did you not follow the plan? Mm-hmm. Yes, you're the last one eliminated, but we all got eliminated in a row. Or whenever it was, who played with Christian writing in the sand? You want to write in the sand?
Gabby.
No, I won't. Gabby goes after Christian, but gets eliminated immediately, and then Christian goes right after. And you're like, if we could just focus and play together, mm-hmm. we could get fifth place, win an immunity at fifth, and now you're fourth. Why are we killing each other at 8, 9, and 10?
Yeah.
Like, gosh dang it, Andy. Like, yeah. And I think that's part of the new era whenever we have people sidestepping the, what are they called? The doctor protocol people that are like, who mentally cleared Andy? Okay.
I get what you're saying. I mean, dude, I don't think Andy's, no, I disagree with that. The psychiatrist. No, I think Andy's fine. I think Andy totally makes sense for the game of Survivor. There's no doubt about it in my mind. I just think that Andy, he's up and down. He's just up and down. He wears emotions on his sleeve. And I think that's actually better for the game.
I think it's very fun, but I do feel bad for Sierra and Sam and even Rachel, but okay, Rachel didn't, but like they decided to keep Andy over Annika, mm-hmm. but we're balancing these two personalities. These are who I get to choose to go with me to the merge, but balancing those people kind of sucks whenever there's $1 million on the line. And that's, mm-hmm. is that outwit, outplay, outlast? Or is it just like, gosh, I wish I had some even keeled people on my team like Saul this whole time.
But here we go. I'm gonna raise my hand. I gotta cut you off. Annika was even keeled. They should have kept Annika.
They hated each other. Yeah, they hit her for a different reason. Yeah.
How even keeled is that alliance of Annika, Rachel, Sierra, and Sam? Very even keeled. You don't have to worry about Andy anymore. You see much of a wild card. Great, get rid of him. We don't need him. They made this decision. They made their bed. They're screwed. Like, this was on them. This isn't on anybody else. This isn't on production. This isn't on, oh, how did this shake out? Teeny, Genevieve, and Saul are chilling, and they started on the same tribe as Rome. So that's just how I feel about that.
They should have voted Andy out. Dang it.
They should have voted Andy out. And now I'm not going to sit here and deal with the whole, like, oh, see, Sierra, you got what you got because you deserved it. Ha, ha, ha. You hate women.
What if John Lovett had made the merge with them?
Yeah, I know. I'm not going to sit here and do that. But it's like, Sierra probably did make the wrong move. Sam made the right move, keeping Andy. Because I personally think now, I actually think Sam becomes way less threatening to everybody. They need Sam so they can beat Kyle and beat Gabe in these challenges. at least from a physical standpoint, because Kyle could win every. I mean, Kyle's won nothing but endurance challenges. He's terrifying right now. But I like, mean,
welcome to the new era of challenges.
And I'm fine with that. I like
endurance on a beam.
I like endurance challenges, and he's clearly very good at them. Awesome. But I think that Sam becomes a little bit less threatening. And I think Andy, you know, Will and I were talking about it last night when Emily made the boot of voted out Bruce. She immediately came back to the tribe and was like, I did that. That was me. Well, then she goes home next because everybody's now scared of you. You just put your head up. The alligator only comes up slightly and then goes back down. You don't want to keep your head up too far. That's just not how you play Survivor. And I could see Andy putting his head up too far here and wanting more credit or something and not getting it. I mean, remember earlier in the game, they're not cheering for me when I open a coconut. Perhaps that this could be the situation of like, why don't they respect me more for making this move? I could see that. So yeah, I just think, I don't think this was the right time. I think this was the wrong time. Now, maybe it ends up working. It's going to work out for somebody because Sam is not going to win the season. So it's going to work out for somebody. I don't know who, but
Sarah's,
I just don't think
this Sarah's is the right my time. Winner pick. And she gets literally just, what an awful episode for her. Like, did people see her crush the money gathering and be like, wow, maybe she's been holding back in challenges? Or she drank the margarita of death that kills everyone that drinks it from the freaking like auction. Like,
yeah, did you see like, that?
How bad? Yeah, like a nurse drinks a margarita.
Mr. Manny, possibly unrelated, but are you aware that the last four auctions that four people who received margaritas went home? Jeffrey, Jen, Kelly, and now Sierra.
Which Jen is that?
Jen, Jen Can't Dance from Worlds Apart.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Poor Jen. Bring her back for 50, please.
I love Jen, dude. Jen Brown is incredible. I love Jen. She quit pretty much.
I just feel bad for Sierra because what did she do wrong? Mm-hmm. She's not allowed to align with somebody closely because they're a man. That's weird to me. Like, they are a power couple. Like, there's stronger alliances in there. Sue and Caroline are so much stronger, but that's fine because they're both women. Or yeah. Or who's two dudes? I guess all the dudes aren't really broed up at all.
Dudes aren't like, aligning right now. No, the dudes aren't like. There's no dude bro energy on this season at all.
No. Which is why the auction just doesn't work. We need more bros. It's something where what I'm trying to say is, why did Sierra, her big transgression was her biggest ally is a attractive dude that maybe people could see them dating outside of the game. And you're like, we are both married to someone else.
Yeah.
Please just treat us. And like, is that a society thing? Is that a Survivor thing? Is that a CBS thing? Is that all these people are more like, we're religious. So that's where my mind goes. Like, I don't know what layer of the game was like this, where this alliance is weirder to me because maybe they also like each other romantically and I could never break that. You're like, why are we even saying this right
yeah.
now?
Yeah. I'm
glad we don't ever have to talk about this again, hopefully.
Yeah, I feel like with Sierra,
that was their
probably,
whole story.
I think Sierra just never made Andy feel comfortable. I think that's what it is more than anything. I think Sierra just never made Andy feel comfortable. I think the others were so excited that Andy was willing to work with them that it was like, great, let's get rid of somebody. And I do think getting rid of Sierra was a better move than getting rid of Rachel. I feel like the women can use Rachel to move further in this game. I think Rachel could win for sure. Everybody keeps saying she's the best player. She'd get the votes if she gets to the end. They might be telegraphing it too much to the point where she doesn't win. But I feel like this was the right
you
move.
You think graphic designers can build fires? You're out of your mind, dude.
Graphic designer gets telegraphed to win? Wow.
My personal generalist grid says she gets fourth at fire making for sure.
Who do you okay? So let's wrap up with this. Who do you think is gonna win?
I mean, everyone just keeps getting eliminated out of nowhere. Where you're like
I just Sierra at 10 in my power rankings. I had Tiana at the bottom, so I don't feel like these last two have been that random.
I mean, Sierra, she's gonna win the whole thing. I loved her, but I have been like. Gabe is up next for a while now. And how is Andy getting through these? How are people not like, just get out of the game, Andy? Like, we can't move on with you. I just think it's a Lavo that wins. Like, they just seem so well positioned, and like Saul can do no wrong.
Mm-hmm. I could see Saul winning for sure. It's funny, I just said before that I don't think Rachel wins, but I think Rachel's who I have right now.
Is it because you're married to a Rachel and there's some kind of bias to the word Rachel That's for it. You?
That's it. I'm attracted to names. That's all it is. I can't help myself. Anyway, that's it. That's all I got. That's all we got. That was a good podcast. Look at us. I feel like we actually did the point of digging deeper for the first time ever. Oh. That's good.
Pat ourselves. Bring back the auction, but the exact way that we want it, please.
There are so many ways to do this better than they're doing it. And we talked about that. And I think Patrick Stahl's idea was the best one, but anyway, become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. I got 2019 Australian Survivor coming out tomorrow. Episodes 4 through 6. Survivor Rewind coming out on Saturday with John and McKenna. We're up to Panama for Every Season Matters. Blake and I did a casting perspective thing about a whiteboard. John and I are doing movies every Tuesday. We got so much stuff going on. It's great. It's absolutely phenomenal. I'm having a great time. And you do get access to the older stuff. So if you're not a patron right now and you're like, well, I want to hear what you said about Marquesas, it's all there. It's all there. Like the video, subscribe to the channel. Go check out the recap if you haven't yet. Jake O'Kane, 9 a.m. On Sunday morning. That's when I'll be podcasting with him. We should probably do House of Villains. I thought we were doing House of Villains. And then I realized I still haven't watched last week's House of Villains. So that would mean I have to watch two House of Villains tonight. So stay tuned if you want to watch House of Villains stuff. Blake and I will talk about that after. But that's it. That's what we got coming up. I hope you guys are enjoying this season as much as we are. I hope this podcast made sense. Let us know your thoughts about the auction and breaking up power couples, where Andy sits. And we'll see you next time.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.